Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Brad Spielberger, our friend, Pro Football Focus, he joins right now, as he does every Tuesday at about this time. Brad, a very good morning to you. How you doing?
Great morning. Great morning. I'm waiting for the Vanderbilt joke.
It's coming.
They were plus 36 against the spread. They only lost by 14. So as far as I'm concerned, they won by three touchdowns. That's why you didn't mention it.
No. In bigger news, the Vandy basketballers are headed to Pittsburgh tomorrow night to play Jeff Capel's Pittsburgh Panthers. You can hear it right here, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Did you know that?
There you go. I will be tuning in. Yes, a little secret. I actually wanted to go there more for the basketball team than the football team. So yes, I will definitely be tuning in. Those are my favorite. That's my favorite team at the school.
Well, everybody loves the head coach stalking the baseline.
Yeah,
rather than the
what is that goofiness about sitting on the baseline? I don't understand it. Now Jerry Stackhouse has to coach and yell at people 90 feet away. Why?
It's just our bizarre stadium. So the stadium's very old, so there's not really big sidelines. And so the student section, the sitting section is right up against the court. You can basically slam the court and stand there if you're in the front row. Yeah, it is bizarre, but coaches hate it. Opposing coaches hate it, but it's kind of a cool, quirky atmosphere if you do go.
All right. Now on to bigger and better things. Maybe not better. Devin Bush, is he as bad as we make him out to be in Pittsburgh? His father actually called our station last week and made an impassioned plea that we're making too much of his son not being good. But it just doesn't look good either in the advanced metrics or just with your eyeball test. What is Devin Bush for you in Pro Football Focus?
Well, now I'll obviously watch my answer that you mentioned his dad's listening. But no, I mean, he had an awful grade, sub 30 overall grade. Run defense was under 25 overall grade. And again, I think the issue there is that if there isn't pressure up front and if guys aren't winning up front, which only Cam Hayward was, nobody else really was, a little bit of Alex Highsmith, but, he's vulnerable. And they were picking on him all night long. The Chargers do not throw the ball downfield for whatever reason, even though they have a guy with probably the best arm in football. And they were dinking and dunking the entire game and picking on Devin Bush a lot. There's no other way to cut it. He is struggling right now.
Do the Steelers win that game, Brad, if T.J. Watt or Micah Fitzpatrick or even Joe Hayden are playing?
I actually do think either Watt or Minka, yeah, I think they probably win that game, which is crazy to say just one defensive player. And obviously it was kind of a big Chargers lead that got shrunk down by some fluky kind of weird plays and turnovers, obviously. But I do think there were a couple plays where I was sitting there saying, if Minka Fitzpatrick was on the field, I'm not sure Herbert even attempts this pass.
Now, Brad, this is maybe this goes beyond analytics. This is just back at basic football, but there are numbers about, all sorts of things. The Chargers had the worst run defense in the league. They were averaging about 5 yards per carry, and the Steelers knew this. They could have geared up for it, and they couldn't run the ball, even when they tried. What's up with that?
Yeah, they could not run the ball at all. They had a negative expected points added per rush. They only had successful runs 27% of the time. So basically, getting enough yards to keep the chains moving. Najee Harris had one big run over 10 yards. They were not effective at all. It is interesting because that Chargers defensive front outside of Joey Bosa is probably the worst in the NFL. Not probably. They are. They have guys that probably should not be starting for an NFL team up front besides him. And he's also, you can run at him and you can use your tight ends and Freiermuth and Ebron and do things to contain him in the run game. I'm not sure how they couldn't get things going. I almost credit to them for not continuing to try when it wasn't working, but why it wasn't working against this run defense is definitely a big question.
Follow us. We're on Twitter at 937 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus. Kind of an off-the-wall question, but we kind of on the periphery bounced this around a little bit yesterday. If I gave you the same 11 on defense, and I said you had to pick one quarterback to play against them, and they had the same 10 at their disposal, would you take Justin Herbert or Josh Allen as your quarterback?
That's a tough question.
Well, that's why I asked it. I'm in the tough question business.
Yeah, you really are. You know, I think it's tough because it's kind of like week to week, you could probably change your answer. And so I am a big Josh Allen guy after last season, but frankly, he has not been that good this year. They played the softest schedule in the NFL, and he still hasn't really done all that much. And I would say, I think people love, you know, his legs and what he can bring on the ground, but Justin Herbert had, what, almost 100 rushing yards in the game against Pittsburgh. So, you know, as of right now, as of today, I will say I'll take Justin Herbert.
Interesting. Ooh. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, with us every Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock here on the Fan Morning Show. Let me get back to the Steelers offense specifically. Should we be feeling good because the Steelers scored 37 on Sunday night? Or should we be frustrated that seemingly every time they get down there in a goal-to-go situation inside the five, they decide to do everything but hand it to Najee Harris?
You know, I would feel good overall. I actually thought Ben looked really, really good. He had a couple beautiful throws. The over-the-shoulder throws to Deontay Johnson, I thought, was one of these nicer balls I saw all weekend. He had a couple other big throws. He was actually pushing the ball downfield. So I think you do take a lot of positives from that. I'm also, you know, playing from behind and not panicking and still just moving the ball. You know, so I would be happy with that. The red zone issues are interesting as well, especially because you think they would actually do better down there. You know, because they like to attack, you know, sideline to sideline and have, you know, Matt Canada likes to distress the defense, you know, sideline to sideline. And you now have, you know, Freiermuth has become kind of this presence in the red zone. It was bizarre. They couldn't punch it in. Again, though, it goes back to, like why they were unable to run the football against the league's worst run defense. It does not make a whole lot of sense.
Okay, the Ravens have the best in the AFC North for what that's worth. And they're a half game behind Tennessee because they haven't played as many games. They've won a ton of close games, and some of them against not very good teams. Is that a sign? I mean, when you win close games, does that make you a good football team, or are the Ravens kind of a charade?
No, so that's one of the things we point to. So one score wins and losses, you know, data has shown that really you can almost chalk those up as ties or as half wins, because the way NFL works is everything's such a small margin, and games come down to one score. There's a lot of variance there. So teams that win a ton of one-score games in one season very often will lose a lot of those one-score games the next season and vice versa. So it's not always that easy and that absolute, but no, it's definitely not a good sign that they are kind of inching past some teams. Of course, this past weekend, they beat a team on the road with a backup quarterback off a bye. So a bit of a different one-score win there, but no, definitely not a good sign. You want your team to win by multiple scores.
If someone says to you, New England's the best team in the AFC, you say what?
I'm still not there yet. So they're. I mean, they have, in my opinion, the greatest coach in the history of sports. They have the best GM in the history of sports. It's the same person. But, I mean, if you watch this team, they are just kind of, you know, they also had a very soft schedule. I mean, a lot of their wins have been, you know, Falcons, Panthers, the Jets. You know, they've had a lot of kind of easy wins. But still, when you watch this team, and Mac Jones looks good, but they're not asking him to do much at all. The defense is just playing really well. But I still don't trust this team as of today. You know, it come playoff time, I think, you know, a good team like the Bills or the Chiefs or even like, you know, the Chargers with Justin Herbert, like I think they would be able to, in a playoff environment, just go ahead and win that game against the Patriots. But you cannot rule them out. I mean, they are trending in the right direction, getting better every week.
So who is the best team in the AFC then?
Oh, it's a tough question. I mean, it's crazy because my Bills have kind of, they've forsaken me. They've been my, you know, my protector all year to say, look, no team in the NFL is good, but at least I have the Bills and I'm confident in them. But their defense, I warned people early in the season when they were kind of blowing teams out and shutting teams out. I said, until this defense plays a good team, I don't really trust them at all. It's tough. The Titans are depleted with injury, and also their offense, since Derrick Henry went down, has not been good. Tannehill had the most turnover-worthy plays in a quarter in the history of PFF. He had 6 turnover-worthy plays in the fourth quarter against the Houston Texans. So I don't trust them anymore either. I'm going to just, you know, take a real cop-out. It might be the Kansas City Chiefs because this defense looks good again. Patrick Mahomes looks like Patrick Mahomes again. So why isn't it the Kansas City Chiefs?
Hey, Brad, isn't it? And it's something that when we seemingly talk about it every week, and it's a different answer every week. And isn't when we ask you this question a month from now, aren't the answers going to be different? It's just crazy.
It is insane. I think this is one of the more, you know, parity-filled seasons. I don't think there is a true, like, elite football team in the entire NFL. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are very good, but still question marks there, and I don't love Cliff Kingsbury still as a coach. Yes, I mean, he made Colt McCoy look like a superstar, but, yeah, I mean, you can poke holes in every team this year. I think it is kind of unique in that way.
Last thing before we let you go, PFF rating of turkey dinner proper on Thursday night versus turkey cold sandwiches on Friday the next day. Go with it.
Ooh, okay. So I personally, PFF Brad personally, is a huge turkey sandwich the following day guy. And I will load that thing up with, you know, I'll put stuffing on the sandwich, maybe some cranberry sauce on the sandwich, a little bit of gravy on there. I'll go nuts. I love the day after leftovers might be better than the meal itself.
It's a great call.
All right. Walk off.
I like it.
Drop the mic.
The mic drop.
All right. Thank you, Brad. We appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Brad.
I'm with him. I am with him. That has been my sort of, you know, go-to question the past couple weeks or so about that.
It's a good one. People give it some thought.
You are one that is a big leftover guy. Like, you guys always have a lot of leftovers.
Well, I was going to throw, and I throw this out every year, but maybe some people have missed it. Linda will put it in a casserole dish,
uh-huh.
And you put the turkey, and you mix, you got white meat, you got dark meat, you mm-hmm. got stuffing, you got potato, and then you just put the gravy over it, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you know, kind of let it cool for a few days, then boom, pop it in the oven. It's spectacular.
Turkey meat. A la King.
It's spectacular. And maybe not the potatoes in it. I think it's just
there?
The turkey,
potatoes.
The stuffing, and the gravy.
Potatoes.
Yes.
White
uh-huh.
meat, dark meat, you just can't lose.
Yes. Yeah,
Linda does it up
something
for you.
Everybody.
Nice. Now, coming up next, producer Matt has found something that he is predicting that will absolutely, positively, undeniably happen on Thursday morning.
Oh.
He says he knows it will happen on Thursday morning at about 5:45.
Oh.
We'll tell you what that is coming up in just a couple minutes.
I have my dates correct.
If you have your dates correct,
yes.
He says it's a lock. This is a lock. It doesn't even. You've got to bet $500 to win two. That's how safe it is coming home. He
wow.
knows it's going to happen. And I'll tell you what that is in just a couple minutes right here on The Fan. All right, so we're both off Thursday. I might be off
correct.
Tomorrow. I don't know. I'm going to
find
out today at 5 o'clock.
Both? Excuse me. All three of us are off.
Or all three of us yes, are off sir. Thursday. I'm off on Friday. But Thursday's the circle right here. Producer Matt says he has found – it's like tendencies with a football team. You want to find a common theme, find mm-hmm. a thread, find a tendency. So you know if they line up here, they go strong right, they're going to run it right. They're going to – maybe if you find the Mike backer here, this is what they're going to do defensively. He says for the past 3-4 years, Ronald G. Cook – Ronald G. Cook on Thanksgiving morning, he does the Fan morning show,
mm-hmm.
and he does the pre-show. Jim is smiling, right? He does the pre-show, 5:40 a.m., and he says, producer Matt says, that he pushes forward the narrative. So listen for this, because Ron doesn't listen to our show, so he won't be listening right now. He says on Thanksgiving morning, the past 3-4 years, Ron has on Thanksgiving said, happy Thanksgiving, whatever, and then push the narrative a little bit forward to what's going on the next couple days, and it has landed on what?
Hunting.
Okay, tell me
it's
more.
It's always about hunting, okay. Because I looked it up. I guess regular firearm season starts November 27th.
Mm-hmm. Always the Monday
yep.
after
yes.
Thanksgiving, right?
So Ron will always bring up as part of the pre-show, you know, hunting season starting up, what, tomorrow or whatever, this weekend.
Monday, yeah.
I just can't bring myself to shoot another animal or to shoot an animal.
Another animal, too.
Yeah, right.
I like that.
Okay, so
slip there.
You're saying that between 5:45 and 6 a.m. on Thursday, have your keen ears trained to listen for that.
There's about a 90% chance that happens.
Wow, he has found a thread. He has found a common theme here.
Interesting.
With Ronald G. Cook. Interesting.
He's a peaceful
he'll
man.
Ask whoever is around whether they hunt and whether they can do that.
He'll ask the producer who's
yes.
working. He'll say, can you do that?
Who's working Thursday morning?
Check the question.
Kale or somebody?
Donnie. Check the schedule.
Yeah, look
Donnie.
At it real quick. Donnie?
Donnie doesn't strike me as a hunter.
Donnie football? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
You know what I haven't
gotten... Will Donnie entertain the conversation? Matt's having a hard time reading that schedule grid when it's really interesting.
I mean, they
it's
got
really
like six
simple.
Different schedules. No, on
well,
well,
one's for producers, one's for on air.
How about the one that says the 25th of November and then scroll down
it's
one?
It's Donnie.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
So
Donnie.
So what do you think Donnie's response will be? And do you think Ron will bring it up again?
Ron will bring it up again because Ron's Rolodex, so to speak, of non-sports topics is a little thin.
Oh, my God.
He will bring it up, and Donnie will entertain him.
Okay.
He will.
And say.
And but I don't think Donnie's a hunter.
But isn't Donnie from a place where there's a lot of hunters? I thought he.
I don't know.
I thought I Donnie's from like Delmont or somewhere.
Where's if he? He's Donnie from Delmont, that's right, fantastic.
Right. Isn't he? Where is Donnie from?
I don't know exactly.
Yeah, I thought good he question. Was from like Westmoreland County-ish or out in that way. So it may be. He may have hunted a time or two. Jim, could you shoot an animal like that?
Nah, I don't know. Probably not.
What if a mountain lion was running at you?
Yeah, I think if there I had a weapon, yes, I believe I would shoot at a mountain lion who was charging.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right.
That would probably be a good career choice.
Yes, okay.
You know, Ron hasn't asked me yet.
About hunting?
If I'm working on Thursday.
You're not, right?
No.
Okay.
So it's just Ron. It's me and me.
Is it to the point? Now, I saw Ron in the coffee room yesterday.
Uh-huh.
He was getting coffee. I was going in.
How'd that conversation go?
Brief. I said, "Hey, Ron." He goes, "Hello." And I that was it.
That was it?
Yeah, there wasn't any sort of small talk to be had. There wasn't any sort of extension to, okay, let's have some small talk.
Right.
And I didn't understand the window to be open. So I didn't jump through it. And I got my coffee. He got his.
Kept moving.
Was what it was. Yeah. I felt like I was getting coffee next to somebody at a train station in the middle of Omaha that I didn't really know. We were just two guys getting coffee.
Could have had more conversation at the coffee desk at a Fairfield Inn.
Yeah, it was something else. But he normally does ask you, though, Jim, so he can plan for this.
Yeah, because he want somebody else in there with him.
To talk, right, to have a
but now that my role has changed a little bit, I guess that's not, that's probably why he's
not. It's not reimagined, it's just changed.
Right.
Correct. All right, coming up next, should somebody's role be changed Sunday night at about 7:30 in Western New York? I got a question about that. Well, more Western Central New York, whatever. Syracuse. I'll just cut right to it. Should somebody's role be changed? We talk about that, and then Shelby Cassese joins before the hour is out. That's all dead ahead. You ready for some excitement?
Pickett, play action fake. He rolls right. Pickett throws the ball down the field, and the pass is caught.
Wow.
And that is Addison on his way. He's going to score a touchdown. He took it away from
Wait
the defender.
It. Listen to the end.
The defender tried to steal that ball. Johnson
Very end.
Went in there and said, it's my ball. And guess what? Addison said, no, my ball, my touchdown. Turn out the lights.
I love it.
Billy, oh my God.
Billy was
God.
Fired up.
Wow.
What are you doing, Billy? Unbelievable.
Fired up.
Yes, Billy Ilgrove is excited there. So that's Kenny Pickett throwing to Jordan Addison to close out that Virginia game that was something else. And it leads to this Pitt game at Syracuse, which is played inside of Costco. I can't stand going to the Carrier Dome for football. It's so stale. It's okay for basketball when they sort of cordon it off a little bit. It's just terrible venue for football. It is. It's like going to a Costco or Sam's Club and watching a football game. But nonetheless, it leads to it being highly inconsequential, except for a couple things. Kenny Pickett's still trying to get invited to the Heisman ceremony. That's still happening. You're still trying to get national acclaim. You're also still trying to make sure your win total is as high as it can be. But you're in that ACC championship. You're also trying, if you win that ACC championship, get to the next step, which is one of those big bowls. But the Syracuse game means nothing. You jumble all that together. What do you do with high-end players? Now, Pat Narduzzi said yesterday, that's not our style. We want to play all our guys. We're going to play all our guys. Is it in Pitt's best interest to do that? You're going to have some lag time between now and Charlotte.
As much as I want those guys to win awards and be recognized, and I do, I'd much rather they win the ACC championship game and go to a New Year's Six Bowl. And the best shot at that is keeping as many of your important pieces healthy as possible.
I agree with you. Now, I do know that he is – and this is an interesting step and one that I think that a lot of coaches wouldn't take. But I honestly, because of how mature he is, how long he's been in the program – and what he means to the program and his future, that he's definitely going to be a high-end pick, I would say right to Kenny Pickett, do you want to play in this game? It's your choice, and I understand if you don't. And you go ahead and advise yourself with the person that's going to be your agent moving forward. If they say you don't, you shouldn't play in this game, take it off. Take it off.
I just can't foresee any player, much less Kenny Pickett, the way he's gutted some things out this year, the last couple years really, that any player would be totally comfortable saying back to their coach, okay, yeah, I want the weekend off.
I agree with you there, but I think, you know what? What's crazy is Kenny Pickett's still chasing the Heisman. So if he puts up a huge game, he'll probably still be in the talk. You look at all the national stuff, and we get maybe sometimes consumed with living in a vacuum here. He's on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. He's like fifth or sixth. I mean, that's just the reality of it. It's unfair, I think, but it's the reality
of it. If the D have been able to stop Western Michigan or Miami, then
yes, he'd be much closer to the top of the list.
It's
right.
A team award. It's not an individual award.
Right.
That's for sure. But I could make a pretty strong case that it's in Kenny Pickett's best interest to not play in this football game.
He could go off. He could go 45 of 50 for 500 yards and 6 touchdowns. And you're right, it's not fair, but he's not getting the invite to New York. It's going to be C.J. Stroud,
no,
Bryce Young,
and
Matt Corral.
No, I think he'll get the invite. I just don't think he'll win.
I'd like to see him get the invite. I don't know if he's even going to get that. I would hope, depending on how many they invite. Right. But I'd love to see him win it, but it's just not realistic at this point.
Well, the invite that he should be looking forward to is an invite to the first round of the NFL draft.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's obviously still out there. I just think, and I understand that, like sitting out, but it's not like this is the last game, right? This isn't like one of those down-the-line bowl games that guys tend to sit out.
Which is a very good point, but I always say this, though. You have a finite amount of hits you can take and a finite amount of plays in which there's an opportunity to get hurt. And with Syracuse, they got – what do they have to really play for? How much do they have to play for?
Yeah, I just think that there are going to be two games beyond this one, and I think he'll play a half, and then he should sit the second half. Of course, having said that, I don't know what if it's close at halftime. Do you still make that move? But I do think you have to protect you do have to protect some of the players. And I heard you guys talking with Jeff about this earlier, and he mentioned Keyshawn Camp as a guy who's been, you know, he's playing through stuff. And so that's an obvious guy to sit out.
Like if I'm Kenny Pickett, I play in the game. But if I heard that Kenny Pickett said, hey, I might sit this one out to get ready for the championship and to get myself ready for if we then move on to a big bowl game and for the NFL, I'd say absolutely, totally understandable, my man.
You know what makes it a more difficult decision for me is when you bring in the variable of Jordan Addison being a Biletnikoff semifinalist.
Correct.
And his numbers stack up there with other guys from winning programs that he could win it. You know, if he has, look, you're not going to have 200 yards receiving every week, but if he has even a halfway decent game against Syracuse, it should be enough to pop the stat sheet to where when people look at it, and a lot of voters don't watch the games, they just look at the box scores and the stat sheets, they'll look at it and go, yeah, you know what, this Addison kid, he's got the best numbers from one of the biggest power, from the only Power 5 school in the top 5 among receiving. Maybe, yeah, he gets my vote.
Well, the other part, too, that's odd is that with there's not that week off like you have between the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl. So you can't necessarily take a week off. Well, I guess that works both ways. It just goes from one week to the other week. You know, there's not like that built-in week where you say, well, rust will set in. Well, really, will it?
No.
I don't know.
I wouldn't worry about that in this instance.
You know, it goes from November 27th to December 4th. So if you took off, you'd still remember how to play football a week from Saturday. I think there's a compelling case to be had on both sides of it. I really do. But you're right. Pickett's that kind of guy that's probably – all football players are going to want to play.
Uh-huh.
But it's totally understandable if they say, wait, maybe – look, we have other quarterbacks that are pretty good. And maybe
there's nothing wrong with developing guys at some point. I mean, instead of playing against New Hampshire, no offense to my alma mater, but playing against somebody that, you know, at least they're D1 players. But the conversation that may happen is, okay, let's say that they do win. You know, they get whatever happens in Syracuse, and then they win the ACC championship, which they very well could.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? Does he definitely play in the bowl game?
In the Peach Bowl
because
or not?
Then you can start talking about that kind of stuff.
I think Kenny Pickett would be doing a disservice to what everybody has seen Kenny Pickett was this year, which is a guy who came back and bet on himself if he decided all of a sudden he gets to that last game and he's going to walk away.
Well, I don't. But Christian McCaffrey didn't play in the bowl game. A lot of people didn't play in bowl games that were real high. A lot of Penn State players didn't play. Bosa didn't play. A lot of people didn't play. Look, I think he'll play.
Yeah, I do too.
I do too, but I wouldn't. I would not begrudge him at all.
I wouldn't either. That's his personal decision, and like, there's a lot of money resting on that decision. So I wouldn't blame him if he decided to. I just think the whole ethos that's been built around Kenny Pickett as being this tough guy who came back and, you know, bet on himself and capitalized on it, I think it would take a hit in some people's eyes if he decided not to play.
Right. And it's also his team.
Right.
Right.
Shelby Cassesi next. This hits different. We hear from her.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we do this every week, and it makes people smile. At least it makes them when they see terrible news. It gives them an escape from that because there's so much terrible news out there. Shelby Cassesi joins for This Hits Different. And Shelby, out of Uniontown, a story this week, huh?
Yeah, and it's American Diabetes Awareness Month, and we thought this was a perfect time to tell the story of a great kid doing a lot, but also managing diabetes since he was a young kid.
Why don't we introduce you to Peyton Hostetler? Let's go.
Sharing the stories of remarkable young people in Western Pennsylvania, this is This Hits Different on 93.7 The Fan.
Uniontown junior Peyton Hostetler has a packed calendar. He maintains a perfect GPA, runs cross country and track, plus plays on the drumline in the marching band. He also has what he calls a full-time job, but not in the way you might think.
Giving myself a bolus of insulin for everything that I eat, and then eating when my blood sugar is low. It's just always watching and making sure that the level is where it needs to be.
Peyton was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when he was 6 years old. His mother, Tiffany, says Peyton's teacher at the time mentioned he was running to the bathroom a lot. Only a few days later, the Hostetlers were at the hospital.
Almost a little over 10 years ago, and we were at a hayride, and he just was not himself, and we took him to MedExpress, and they said, you need to go to the hospital right away.
At first, it was an adjustment for everyone.
It was definitely a challenge. He didn't understand what was going on, why he had to do what he had to do.
Peyton is self-sufficient with managing his condition now, but that doesn't mean a mother's concern subsides. Each night for the last 10 years, Tiffany says she gets up to check on her son just to make sure he's okay. At some point over those 10 years, through all the doctor's appointments, doses of insulin, and monitoring, Peyton took an interest in running.
It's just something that I did on the side sometimes when I runs with my dad. Later on in middle school, like 7th and 8th grade, I just found a love for it and decided to stick with it.
And since has worked to improve his time. Now he excels, this year qualifying for Whippeals in cross country as one of the team's top 7 runners. In track, he clocked the fastest time in the 400-meter race at the county meet. His coach, Joe Everhart, says Peyton has earned it.
Peyton is one of our hardest workers. He never misses a practice. He always gives 100%.
But while many runners use the time on the track or the trail to drift from life's difficulties, Peyton's mind can't stray far from how he's feeling.
I just have to be extra careful, and I always have to carry some sugar with me when I'm out on a run.
Fortunately, he's never alone, even in the middle of a long-distance run. Peyton says his teammates know exactly what to look for and aren't afraid to speak up if something seems off.
They're always checking up on me and making sure that everything is okay. And they can usually tell when I'm not performing my best because of diabetes or something else going on. So I'm really thankful for them and everything that they do for me.
It's exactly the type of team culture Everhart has worked to create since he took the job in the 80s.
It means a lot as a coach. We all always try to build the team spirit, being part of a family, kind of cliche, but in cross country and on this team, I've seen this quite a bit this year.
And for Peyton, now poised for even more athletic and academic success his senior year, is also prepared to face challenges head on, well past high school's finish line.
There's been times where I've been so tempted to just give up or quit doing what I'm doing because it's too difficult, or I feel like I can't perform as well as everyone else because of the things that I have to face in doing it. But none of that matters. The thing that matters is that I've persevered and that I have people helping me along the way.
All right, Shelby Cassese, great job from you, Shelby, and
thanks.
Great story to tell. And it's one of those ones, too, that inspires maybe younger people that are 8, 9, 10 years old to say, well, I've had a hard time with this, but I can still go out and compete athletically.
Yeah, and he's packed busy. I mean, there's so much that he's doing as a young student-athlete and a student at Uniontown. And what was really the, I guess, cherry on top of this story was how much his teammates are aware of his situation. And,
right.
You know, it might take some maybe guts or like some confidence in yourself to say like, hey, you don't seem to be doing well. Do you need some help? You might want to take some sugar, that type of thing. And his teammates totally back him on that and keep him in the loop if they notice something's off.
Yeah, as the dad of a kid with some physical limitations, every time I see him actually go out there and gut it out and try to play some, even if it's rec league baseball, to see the way everybody else welcomes him in, and it sounds like they're doing with this kid, welcome him in as just like everybody else. It's important to people who, when they feel like they're quote unquote different, to include them as much as you can without necessarily dwelling on the differences.
Absolutely.
All right, Friendsgiving. How did this all go?
It's Saturday.
Oh, it's coming up Saturday.
Coming up.
Okay. Are you all? Did somebody take up the dishes you were looking to get covered here?
I think so. Yes, I think we're all set. I'm a little like the pressure's on because I haven't even studied up on how to take the guts out of the turkey. Like, I have so much to read.
Hold on. Is it frozen?
Reach in and pull them out.
It's in the refrigerator.
Okay, so you're thawing it out. That's step one.
Yeah, step one is moving it over to...
Yes. Okay, you're good then.
I had to ask Alexa last night how far in advance I'm supposed to pull a turkey out, and her response was, you should pull the turkey out in advance. And that was, Alexa, for that.
Very detailed answer.
Yeah.
YouTube generally solves a lot of these problems.
Yeah, and I have cookbooks. I have the whole thing.
How big is this bird?
20 pounds.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. Do you have this may sound like a silly question. Mm-hmm. Do you have a receptacle in order to cook this? Do you have a pan?
Yes. Bought the pan.
All right. Just because I didn't want you to get that far down the road and be like, I don't.
Thursday morning.
Yeah, I'm
going
to try to
have it in there on a pizza
bowl.
Stone. Yeah.
Right?
I can't understand the horror of someone that is cooking a turkey and doesn't pull it out in time. And it's just, there's nothing you can do in that moment.
No.
You can't put it in the microwave.
It's Chinese delivery time at that point.
It's Costco rotisserie chickens.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's the way to go. All right, so you're covered for desserts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're covered. What did the people take up on these appetizers that were a little thin on the appetizers,
Yeah,
right?
we got a lot of appetizers coming, lots of dips.
Okay, well, yeah, of course.
We have to have the dips. Pigs in a blanket.
Oh, yeah.
Bacon,
the little
water,
the little ones, the little Smokies with the little Pillsbury.
That's what I understand is
Yeah, I eat like 93 of those on Christmas Eve.
Okay. Jim, are you going to host a Friendsgiving this year?
No,
we don't have any friends.
Not true.
Actually, our kids are coming over Wednesday night.
They're your friends.
Good. Yes, they are.
Dips.
So what all are you?
Tastefully simple.
Yes.
Make it all happen.
What all are you responsible for besides the turkey?
I got the stuffing. I have my own appetizer, and I'm doing cupcakes, and that's it.
You got it.
Yeah, everyone's.
You got it.
And I have to set up and everything.
Yeah.
And my husband doesn't know this, and he's at work, but he's going to be on cleaning duty all Saturday morning, whatever
all right.
day it is.
Yeah.
He could drink during that, or be hungover, or both.
He's very interested in the punch. He has to. That's his contribution.
Oh, okay. You can't let that go without a further follow-up. What is in the punch? Is it rum punch? Is it?
It's like a rum fall punch thing.
Okay, now
he's the alcohol committee for this event. So.
Is it red based or what? Because we're zero res. We do zero res. So
if some of it spills,
we're okay with that.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I just let him take over.
Oh, he's making the punch too. You better be careful.
That's a little dangerous.
Yeah, I know. There's a difference between.
Might have to pull out some air mattresses for.
Well, and I'm not trying to be funny here. Like, there's a difference in, like, men's body weight and a bunch of young ladies you're going to have over. Just tell him relax.
I know.
Like, this isn't punch for you and your goofball friends that you want to put 151 in it or whatever.
Yeah, we got to no jungle juice out of the of the trash can like in college.
No
freshman tea. Ladies' tea at the tea
guys, like, to be honest, I mean, the areas in which you've had, like, jungle juice in college, that, I mean, there's,
Shelby,
like...
Shelby, you said jungle juice twice in our show now.
Bathtubs,
purple
trash
drank.
Cans.
I once, you know the big buckets that you put ice and drinks in for a tailgate party or something, like with the rope handles?
Yeah.
I once drank, it was the first party I ever went to as a freshman in college. They had a gin and juice party.
Sure.
And literally just bottles of gin dumped into... maybe this much orange juice at the bottom of this bucket. And in somebody's garage. They probably had their hose wrapped up in that bucket beforehand. I didn't care.
Like
I was 18.
Water. A lot of that stuff looks like river water.
Warning you, he may try to make that. That's what I'm saying.
I vividly remember a party that I was at, obviously of age at this point in
college. Sure, yeah, obviously.
And they put a tarp in a bathtub and served jungle juice out of it. That's three times.
Jim was at that party. You know how they turned water into wine? He was there. He's that old. Him and Cook. He just did the sign of the cross.
Blessed himself.
Yeah. Cook was there, and he goes, "Is it free? Okay, I'll have
all
some.
Right.
I'll have some. Give
guys
me some.
Are $5. Jim's charging $5 at the door for men.
Give me some, Jesus.
For cups. Yep. $5
I'm
for
okay.
a cup.
Judas, you're out.
It's enough. All right. Well, have a great Friendsgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Yes, and this is always a pleasure.
Always
it really
a pleasure.
Is. And another great story. And I know you put the bat signal out, right? Mm-hmm. If anybody has any of these great stories they think need to be told and amplified, get in touch with you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've gotten a couple ideas from people, which we absolutely appreciate. And we're going to be telling some more of these stories throughout the rest of the year and into next year. So I'm excited to do it.
Absolutely. Shelby Cassese doing great work. And we thank you, as always.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.